In the early 1990s, a video game was developed called Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat, right? Whatever, that would be yelled at. It was not like any of the games I grew up playing as a kid. Now, we didn't have video games. I mean, we have all ultimately had Pong, you know, that guy. But the games we played with were like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. The guy's head, you knock his block off, you just push it back on, and he's ready for the next fight, right? No problem. Yes, we watched violent cartoons like, you know, The Road Runner and Wile E. Coyote. But whenever Wile E. Coyote fell off the cliff and was a puff of smoke on the bottom or blew up with one of his own missiles and he, you know, in ashes on, he was always ready for the next battle for The Road Runner, right? Mortal Kombat was different because it came with controversy because the game was designed around you battling and having, you know, in a fight, and you would get to a point when you basically have won where the game would call out for you to take your kill shot and kill your opponent. It was Mortal Kombat, right? And so actually because of that video game, we developed the ESRB, which is the Entertainment Software Rating Board, and it really came out of some of the, you know, the graphic arts violence that was a part of that game. Having said that, imagine you're sitting down to play it, and you're ready to play, you're ready to do some battle, and the game boots up, and you see your combatant, and your combatant that's going to fight for you is Winnie the Pooh. Winnie? Pooh Bear, like, how did you get here? How are you in the midst of Mortal Kombat? Well, that bizarre scenario may be felt by you today in a different way as we read some of 2 Samuel chapter 8. I know there are many people in our world, if they read this chapter for the first time, they might find themselves a little bit in that scenario because we're going to see quite a bit of terrible violence. That's why I came to church, right? We're going to see some terrible violence. And at the end of it, standing there with blood on his hands is going to be King David. Not only that, standing next to him, invisible, but standing there in support is the loving, kind, good, gracious God of all creation. And you may find yourself when we read this passage saying, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing involved in something like this? And so I'm going to pray and we'll move forward. Lord God, I believe you're here. I believe every breath I take is a gift from your hand. You know whether this is my last day or whether I get a lot more on this earth. And I want to thank you that by your grace and mercy, you've provided me with eternal life in heaven through Jesus. I ask that as we gather today and look at your word, it might help us to understand our life here on earth a bit better and to be able to live with wisdom. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 8 is in the Old Testament. I didn't just pick this today because it's Memorial Day. We've been coming through the whole book of 2 Samuel. And the first thing I want us to see this morning as we read this is that this is history. Our Christian faith is a historic faith. What I mean by that is not that it's a thing of the past. What I mean is that Christian faith and belief is rooted in history. It would be meaningless without history. Christian faith is not about some mythology of the God of thunder was in a battle with the God of the sea and somehow it produced human beings. Christian belief is rooted in history. We believe that there is a God who created everything. And he created the human race. And so every bit of human history comes from the launching of humanity by Almighty God. Not only that, We believe that God didn't just create this planet and toss it out into the universe to someday I'll get to it, but rather he has been involved in human history. He's involved through general revelation. Scripture says, you know, that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. We look around and we say, this is clearly, creation has a designer. The ocean goes this far and goes back. You know, the seasons, they come and they go. Not only that, we have a morality. Inside of us, we feel like there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. That doesn't come from dust. That comes from a moral being, right? A God who has involved himself with us. But not only that, he's involved himself directly in history. God spoke to Adam and Eve. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Moses. God spoke through the prophets. Ultimately, God involved himself by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to become a human being. How much more historical could our faith be than in a God whose own son became the God-man and came to this earth? And so we believe that. When we saw 2 Samuel chapter 7 last week, and we saw God through the prophet Nathan telling David, your throne is going to be forever. In other words, your son Solomon will be king after you, and there'll be others. Even when Israel gets destroyed, as it did, you know, with the Babylonians, Assyrians, that throne will remain, and eventually the Messiah will rule eternally on it. What is that? It's God being involved. It's history, the living God talking through Nathan. But what makes clear is when God's history is unfolding in a sinful earth, there is going to include some human violence. We want to see that in this passage. I'm going to read it. Verse 1. Now after this, it came about that David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And David took control of the chief city from the hand of the Philistines. He defeated Moab and measured them with the line, making them lie down on the ground. And he measured two lines to put to death, one full line to keep alive. And the Moabites became servants to David, bringing tribute. Then David defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to restore his rule at the river. And David captured from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers. And David hamstrung the chariot horses, but reserved enough of them for 100 chariots. And when the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 Arameans. These verses are filled with what? Violence. There's no getting around it. It's why there are some people who say, I don't believe in the Old Testament, but I believe in the New Testament. But I want to tell you, the God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament. He's the God who was and is to come. He doesn't change, right? He wasn't loving at one time and not loving at others. He wasn't good at one time and not good at others. And so we read this and we see words in here like defeated, subdued, captured, killed. As a matter of fact, we read verse 2 and we're almost like, what is going on here? David defeats the Moabites. He makes them all lay down on the ground. He takes a string and he measures it out. And imagine them lying there in fear and terror. And after he measures it out, two-thirds of them are going to be killed. And then the other third will pay tribute. We read a passage like that and we say, man, David, God, I know God's going to tell him, hey, what are you doing going out there doing things I didn't tell you to do? And so we have a problem when we read verse 6. Then David put garrisons among the Arameans of Damascus, and the Arameans became servants to David, bringing tribute, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. And some people are going to say, that's not my God. The God I believe in would never allow such things. I would just say there's a key verse in Scripture that reminds us, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You are not God, and I am not God. And whenever we find ourselves saying, the God I believe in, if we start describing a God who is different from how God has revealed himself. We are describing a make-believe God who doesn't exist. So if I say the God I believe in would never allow someone to be sent out from his presence for all eternity, I just made up a God who doesn't exist. Because the God who has revealed himself in history has said, as we'll see, I freely provide a way for all eternal life. But if you reject it, and I give you the freedom to reject it, you will be separate from me. And so we have to be careful when we read these passages that we don't say the God who I believe in, right? There are many in our world who believe that, they wouldn't maybe say it, but you know, God is kind of a willy-nilly, silly old bear. He's all stuffed with fluff, right? In other words, he's harmless. God would never hurt anybody. And God would never unjustly, right? But we have to recognize and see who he is. Yes, the God of history that we believe in. Yes, he is a good and loving God. Yes, the God of history created mankind to live safe and secure in the Garden of Eden. He created mankind to be able to have their kids playing without fear of falling off of something and getting hurt or being attacked by a wild animal. God created mankind for that. But God also was very honest and said to Adam and Eve, if you disobey me, you will bring death onto the human race. And they did. And with death comes violence, and they were tossed out of the Garden of Eden and were now only going to have a certain amount of years living on this planet. Not only that, their spiritual death and sin now brought violence. And so in the very first generation of the human race, you hear people say, boy, the human race has really gotten bad. We've always had a sin problem. In the very first generation of the human race, right, their children, Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. Murder in the first human family. And yet, what do we believe? That God so loved us that he said what? This violent, murderous human race that has been tossed from my presence, I love them so much, I am going to bring a savior to bring them back into my presence forever through faith. And to bring about that savior, I'm going to choose a man named Abraham, and I'm going to start a nation called Israel, and I'm going to choose those people to be the people through whom I bless the entire world. Through them is going to come a Messiah, a savior, Jesus of Nazareth, and he will be the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and provides eternal salvation for those who would believe. And that's history. That's God being involved in our history. I don't expect you to go to public school and open it up and be reading, you know, stories of God working in creation. What I'm expecting is that if you find yourself saying, I believe in God, know this, the God you believe in has been involved in history, and he's made his plan of salvation clear. And the unfolding of that plan included violence. Why? Well, for example, look at verse 3. We read there, then David defeated Hadad-Ezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. Hadad-Ezer, his name means Hadad is my help. In other words, he worshiped a pagan god. He worshiped idols. And his view was, I have to wipe out the Israelites, because I don't want anybody believing in the God who has chosen Israel. I want them to worship my idol pagan god, Hadad. Same with the Moabites. The Moabites wanted to exterminate the Israelites. So did all the groups in here. That was their purpose. That was what they wanted to accomplish. You know, when you look around our country today, I am fine with any group of people, young or old, who want to gather together because they want to make sure that we care about and are concerned about the citizens of Gaza. Or gather together because we need to be concerned about the citizens in Israel. Or gather together because we need to be concerned about the citizens in Sudan, where the Islamic rebels are slaughtering Christians in Sudan. Or care about the citizens in Ukraine, right? I'm all for anybody who wants to gather. And I'm not being political in choosing a side here, but I am being political in saying this. When you're in that gathering and you're cheering for or waving a flag that has to do with Hamas, you have to understand that Hamas is unapologetic in saying, our goal is and always has been and always will be to exterminate Israel. We have no desire to ever live in peace with Israel. Now, that's not all the Palestinians, but that's the position of Hamas. Hamas says we exist to exterminate them. Until we eliminate Israel as a nation, we will not settle for peace. That's not settling for peace, right? Well, imagine that back here in the Old Testament. These nations are saying, we want to exterminate Israel. God's saying, I love you people so much that I'm going to send my son through the line of Israel to be your savior. If these Old Testament nations wipe out Israel, God's line of salvation would have been destroyed, so to speak. And so, to me, it just goes to say, if you think that you're going to stand up against God's line of salvation and he's going to be a little stuffed teddy bear and just stay on the shelf, you're fooling yourself. That's what we're reading about here as history. God says, you want to wipe out my people? You want to prevent millions from having salvation and eternal life? And God allows what? David, in violent acts, to prevent such a thing. And so when we look at this, we have to realize that this is history. There's a purpose behind it. It's the God of salvation. It's the God of love. It's the God of goodness and grace that is standing next to David with his bloody hands. Because remember, it's that God whose son is going to be hanging and bleeding on a cross because of the violence of the human race, right? We don't glory in it. We don't glory in any of the violence, and nor should we. Because the first thing we see, and believe me, the first point was by far the longest. The first thing we saw was, this is history. But we also see, this is ugly. It's ugly. When I was a kid and I was playing Risk with my family members, sometimes it got ugly because if I was losing, on one occasion, I remember I just tossed the whole board, and that didn't go well. You know, when somebody's got all these countries and I've only got Irkutsk or whatever it is, you know. But when you're playing Risk, you know, and I'm losing, I'm like, oh, man, you rolled another six or whatever. If you've never played it, you're not going to understand. We don't. And you're losing. All I'm losing is little wooden cubes, right? I'll get more. As long as I can hang on, I'll get more next turn, right? I didn't sit there when I was playing Risk thinking about the screams, the agony, the suffering of a battlefield. I didn't think about, boy, until the first time I sat and watched the opening minutes of Saving Private Ryan, I bawled. I could just say the movie, find myself on Memorial Day weekend getting, you know, because it's ugly. And we, some of our wonderful police officers in Maple Shade are military veterans. And they'll tell you, there's nothing romantic about war. It's ugly. And we see that here in verse 5, Scripture's honest with it. It doesn't wash it away. Oh, no, God never let anything like that. No, it's very honest. Verse 5, David killed 22,000 Arameans. Verse 6, the Lord helped David. Verse 13, David just came back from killing 18,000. Verse 14, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. You may say, all of this ugly violence and death just because Adam and Eve chose to eat a piece of fruit? On the one hand, yes. As they represented the entire human race, and we know that scientific DNA lets us know we all go back to one set of parents. There's no reason for racial division. There's no reason for ethnic pride against others. We are all from the same set of parents, right? And that set of parents chose to do what? Disobey God. And the Bible says that all of us died in Adam, that because of their sin, the entire human race is born into what? Into sin, into death. Because of that event. You know, when I was looking up Mortal Kombat, I didn't play the game. You know what I mean? I'm too old, I guess. And besides that, any, you know, video games that my son would just wipe me out in seconds. And that's not fun to me. So I looked up Mortal Kombat. And why is it spelled with a K? Because if you know it, it's Mortal Kombat, K-O-M-B-A-T. And you'll find these little message boards, oh, the K is for killing, or the K is this, that. But all you got to do is keep looking, and you'll see the creator of Mortal Kombat's name is John Tobias. And he said the only reason it was with a K was for legal reasons. They wanted to get it trademarked. And they couldn't get a trademark with Mortal Kombat, C-O-M-B-A-T. It was too common. So they had to change the C to a K. That's the only reason it's Kombat, K-O-M-B-O-T. And some people think, my goodness, that's like it's nothing. It was just, Adam and Eve, they were allowed to eat this fruit, but just because they ate that fruit, that's all they did. They went from this fruit to that fruit. And all of this death. We need to understand that disobeying God and choosing sin, the Bible's honest, it led to crushing death. And again, I love that we live in a land that believes in freedom. I'm glad that nobody is here because the government says they have to be here. God gives you the freedom to say, I don't believe in you. But that freedom ends when you breathe your last breath. You may be sitting here watching. When you've breathed your last breath, God doesn't go away. You'll stand in his presence. Have you put your faith in Jesus or have you rejected? And it's You know, he has the right to say, I'm offering you this free gift. And you have the right to turn away, right? Now, obviously, his hand is, we know scripturally, is involved in that whole process of who. But that fact of, right, that when we look at this, it's history, it's ugly. And in closing, in my last minutes here, this will be over someday. That's the good news. Came to church on Memorial Day. Didn't think it was going to be about, you know, violence and all. The good news is this. It's going to be over someday. But not yet. Not yet. God had no desire for violence to be part of the human race. Sin brought death. With it came violence. And with it comes a thing that we need to recognize as well. And it's that God gives cause for human governments to have the ability to bring violence to keep peace. Here's what I mean by that. I'm not applying it to any particular war or battle, but when we look at Romans chapter 13, what do we read in verse 3? We read, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. At least they're not supposed to be. But for evil. Do you want to have no fear or of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Does that mean every police officer is a good police officer? No. But does it also mean that we absolutely need them? Yes, because they've been established by God, governments that have the authority to be a force against evil. Look at verse 4. For it, the government, and all that it brings, the potential of violence, it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. In other words, what God's word is saying is we still live in this world that is wrecked by sin. There, I wish that I could imagine with John Lennon that all of us decide we're going to live in peace. It's one problem. It has never happened in the entire history of the human race. If all of us say we're going to lay down our any sort of, and we're going to just all get along, it's going to last about 1 minute, because it's not a human thing. Sin nature brings what? It brings greed, it brings selfishness, it brings lust, it brings war, it brings violence. And God says, I have established governments to have the threat of violence for the purpose of preventing evil. Do governments abuse it? Yeah. Do governments misuse it? Yeah. But the point is, we're still living in a time where we need that because of the world that we live in. The good news is this, my friend, someday we won't need it anymore. Someday, there'll be no more need, right? Why? Because what does Isaiah tell us when we read in the book of Isaiah about a time that Jesus promises? Jesus said what? I am coming again. After he died on the cross for our sin, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, he said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4 says, and he will judge between the nations when he returns and rules here, right? And he will render decisions. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. No more need for weapons. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Look what's part of that promise. A few chapters later in Isaiah chapter 11, we read in verse 6, in that day when Jesus comes to reign again, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also, the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den, and they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You ever see those little nature films where the lions are going after the little zebras? Oh, and you're watching it. The hyenas are going after the little lion cubs. God didn't design that. It's all a result of sin entering the human race. The earth is under the curse of humanity, right? Our sin. But a day is coming. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He paid the price for my sin, for your sin. He rose from the dead. He offers us eternal life. As many as believe in him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Jesus says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will never really perish, but have everlasting life. Someday, Jesus is coming again to rule and to reign here. And there'll be perfect peace. And the little kid will sit next to the lion, and all will be well. You read 2 Samuel 8 and you say, I don't know, God involved, you know. The violence is the result of sin. The violence is the result of God loving us so much that he had to let David wipe out nations who wanted to stop God from saving mankind. Thank God that he's in control. Thank God that someday it'll all be over, right? It'll all be over. Thank God for our military veterans who have protected our freedom. Thank God for our law enforcement who stand in our defense. Thank God, because it's needed still until Jesus Christ comes again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that reminds us of the reality of the world that we live in. Lord, we are reminded that it is a world that rejected your Son and didn't just tell them they didn't want him, they nailed him to a cross. And you were there allowing it. You could have called 10,000 angels and wiped them out, but you allowed the violence of the human race to fall upon Jesus so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.